Right. So it's a big change. So I go there a couple months ago, and he's got a new book out with another guy. And he's sitting up there, and he does a talk. And then after I go up and I start talking to him, and he tells me about, I bring up McLuhan to him. This is what I do. I go to these places, I wait for the lectures over, and they go up and attack the person privately, you know. If I might do a question in public. It's usually always McLuhan. If anybody has watched me at these things through the years, which is not likely because there's so many people there, nobody's seeing you this the next time. I always bring up McLuhan points, like I did it with Yoko Ono, which was interesting. Go back to that maybe. And so I asked something in general, and he didn't get a very good answer. So I went up and saw him after, and I said, you were at the Department of Ecology. Did you learn anything about McLuhan? Yeah. I said, well, why don't you write about him? He says, I do, in this book called Media Unlimited. So this was the book. So I went over and bought it. I didn't know about it. And read it. So we look up. Let's look up what he says about McLuhan. Now, this is after teaching media ecology in a McLuhan-esque department. Not necessarily like McLuhan, but it's in that realm. So you look up McLuhan, and there's no McLuhan in here. just joking. Page 10. So I don't know, you may not know anything about McLuhan, but here's what he says. Neither are the media themselves messages. That is, statements about the world. Marshall McLuhan's glib formulation turns out to mean next to nothing. This is partly because he was not clear or convincing about just what he meant by a medium. A television set? A commercial channel? A sitcom? But McLuhan was not precise either in his use of the word message. That's italicized message. Media do not simply deliver information. An image or a soundtrack is not simply a set of abstract signs that describe, point to, or represent reality standing elsewhere. Not only do they point, they are. He's saying an image or a soundtrack is, and that's italicized. They are wraparound presences with which we live much of our lives. McLuhan was closer to the truth when, in a playful mood, he titled one of his later books, The Medium is the Massage. Now, he's saying this distinguishes from McLuhan. McLuhan always pointed out that media are their nature. They exist. So here's a guy, doesn't even get point one about McLuhan. All right? He thinks he's making a new point about McLuhan. Okay. Page 25. It's easy to see how individuals grow up expecting their lives to be accompanied by image, plenitude, flow, and choice. But for society as a whole, how did this blessing come to pass? Media saturation is not a gift of the gods, nor of the unprovoked genius of technological wizards. The Edisons, Marconis, Sarnoffs, DeForests, and Gateses devised and organized the media that Marshall McLuhan has called extensions of man. And he has that in quote. But humanity first came with its hungers and competencies. Nor are our desires the unwelcome product of vast corporations determined to stuff human time with their commodities, with products that people would be so eager to purchase, on which they would become so dependent that they would grant their time in exchange for money to bring these commodities home. So he goes on about that. But so that's the next reference to McLuhan. He just cites the obvious theme that comes from McLuhan. Then you go to page 176. Everywhere the media flow defies national boundaries. This is one of its obvious, but at the same time amazing features. A global torrent is not, of course, I should tell you, the Media Unlimited, how the torrent of images and sounds overwhelms our lives. Okay? So he's saying, a global torrent is not, of course, the master metaphor to which we have grown accustomed. We're more accustomed to Marshall McLuhan's global village, in italics. Those who resort to this metaphor casually often forget that if the world is a global village, some live in mansions on the hill, others in huts. Some dispatch images and sounds around town at the touch of a button. Others collect them at the touch of their buttons. Yet McLuhan's image reveals an indispensable half-truth. If there is a village, it speaks American. It wears jeans, drinks Coke, eats at the Golden Arches, walks in swoosh shoes, plays electric guitars, recognizes Mickey Mouse, James Dean, E.T., Bart Simpson, R2-D2, and Pamela Anderson. Then the final reference is 207, drowning, he's talking about Hollywood, the new effects movies, special effects. Drowning language in gaudy and grotesque images, the mainstream Hollywood movie is driven by a hideous zero-sum principle of the senses, as if an imitation of Marshall McLuhan's most simple-minded idea. Dash, the belief that when artistic work plays in one sensory capacity, sight, that's in brackets, it is obliged to sacrifice a previously dominant sense, in brackets, the capacity for language. So that's, in a way, the simple eye-ear dialectic. So here's a guy who writes, so then I'm reading the book, and the book is totally making McLuhan's point, if you knew what McLuhan's talking about. So he critiques McLuhan, doesn't even have a proper understanding, and when Neil Postman retired a year ago, probably because he was going to die, and then he died a year later, they mentioned Todd Gitlin had left and gone to Columbia, and he made some snarky remark about authoritarian figures at the department. So looks like he couldn't even handle Neil Postman and probably left. So that's okay. Neil Postman was a stick in the mud. You know, he went. You're not going to learn real McLuhan from Neil Postman. But he is. This is an example of people have to write books and keep the industry going. And I say they can't get past McLuhan, which is really getting past Finnegan's Wake. So I'm going to explain that in more detail. But that's an interesting thing. If you really know McLuhan, you see that this guy is pointing at a big aspect of what McLuhan wrote about, but doesn't even know it, and actually comes to McLuhan's point at the end, at least a beginner's point. So that's when I went over to the U of T bookstore today, there's hundreds of books on media. The word media is now overwhelming. Well, it's a word that's accepted in people's lives since the internet. This is what all these books say. You know, media overwhelm us. Now I'm going to prove that media don't overwhelm us anymore. So this is something, this phenomenon of media taking over us occurred 30 years ago, and McLuhan dealt with it then. So why are we having these repeats? Because we're running on the same spot. We need content for the media. We can't get past the E equals MC squared that McLuhan came up with, so we're just stuck and we replay these things within particular linguistic cultures and different media. And I say it's a hologram, which doesn't mean it's not real. It's a hologram environment we live in, and it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, like homeopathic. The homeopathic principle. So the whole hologram is getting tinier and tinier and tinier, and people have less and less to write about, so it's always one media image that dominates, like Bill Clinton was the main figure for all through the 90s. Movies about him, scandals about him, other things about him. It all revolved around the White House. So you merge hologram with homeopathy and you come up with the word holeopathic. So we're having holeopathic replays of McLuhan's insight by people who can pretend to come up with something new because they don't know the holeopathic principle that McLuhan intuited and he got from Finnegan's Wake. So we begin with the fact that McLuhan described the situation, maybe just for more emphasis, should do this. Just to see, now look at the language. I'm standing up, I'm going to make a point. Okay, I'm going to have an authoritative vibe, all right? I'm not going to be in the dialogue thing. So I must establish a theme, right? So I have to stand up, be authoritative. And remember, A-W-E, is the root of authority and author. So I say that when McLuhan says that the media, the television, the electric environment of the 60s was a seamless web, that means you have to say, if it's a seamless web, there's no division between TV, radio, movies, magazines, speech, sports, bulldozers, buildings, all media. Because McLuhan meant by media anything that humans made, from clothing to satellites. So we know that people mean by media what? News? When I say the media is just going all crazy about it, they use, what do they mean? The news? Everybody agree on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The news. I mean, which is like Walter Cronkite or Dan Rather or Barbara Frum or whoever you got now. John Pope, what's his name? Mansbridge, yeah. Which that's the definition of Pope. Mansbridge. John Pope. So he is his name John?
Peter.
Oh, Peter Mansbridge, right. Peter Pope, that's even better. And I'll put in a prediction. The last Pope will be called Peter, which will happen over the next 20 years. So if the next guy is Peter, it's over after him. For the Vatican Church is a centralized organization. If it's Sammy, it won't be him. It'll be the guy after him, Peter. So because it's going to have to end where it began with Peter, right? First Pope. So the news is the Pope, here in Canada, and that's what people mean by media. Now, subconsciously, it is right, because the whole world is run by the news. What the White House says, or what Wall Street says, which is always a reflection of the White House or of some other place, Tokyo, but it's always the same impetus every day. The market needs to know what's happening, so they listen to the news. So the news runs the world, and the news is usually press releases coming and anchored and responding to the White House. So if it's a seamless web, when you lived in the 1560s, you would watch TV, you turn it off, listen to the radio, get in your car, put on some clothes, dance to the Beatles, go golfing, go swimming, have an affair, that. And remember, women were the first medium, the first extension of man, because it was pulled out of man in myth. So the metaphor is that when Eve put a fig on herself, that was the first clothing. That was the first extension, which numbed them, therefore put them out of the Garden of Eden. So it's interesting. So one can understand why anthropologists say that woman is going to be the last thing that man civilizes. Okay? But it was the first medium. Okay. So if you have a seamless web, it doesn't seem... What's McLuhan talking about? It doesn't seem that it's seamless when you're going from one clunky medium to another. But you're also listening to music, so you can get a... You say, yeah, when I'm listening to radio, Beatles, it's sort of seamless, because you're in acoustic space. But now, when a little kid's got a laptop, and they've got movie, radio, magazine, every media in there, we could understand it's a seamless web. Could we see that all media have disappeared? What I'm saying is the noun media, or medium, does not refer... Well, the definition has a particular medium like television, radio. Those media don't exist anymore. Everything that Marshall wrote about in Understanding Media, telephones, they do not exist. They were separate media. Now, it's all in a seamless web. So McLuhan saw the seamless web. And if this is a seamless web, there's no division, then there's only one thing existing. It's boundless, has no center, and if you put a human face on it, it's the President of the White House, the President of the United States. We all are that. Now, if you look back there, you'll see a picture of McLuhan. It's a review of a book he did in the 60s. It has him standing on the whole globe, and actually has looks like an egg behind him. So he could be Humpty Dumpty, because he did write about how electric media reunited the world. All the king's men couldn't put the fragment and Humpty Dumpty together, but they could, once the electric environment started to create a seamless web, then the egg came back. So it's a pretty interesting picture, and that's 35 years ago, I think. So, but that can be anybody. But we anthropomorphize this one seamless thing that exists, and we say it's a human being. And it's usually the White House. So the news is the White House. This wasn't so obvious before the Berlin Wall went down. But it actually was a factor, because the CIA and the KGB always shared information on their station chiefs, just as an example of one bureaucracy. They pretended there was a Cold War, but there was a lot of seamless web within the information world. So it became obvious to people when there was only one world after the Berlin Wall, or the war fear disappeared. So we are one thing. I don't know if you want to call it a human being. We're in this seamless web. So how can we get a perspective on that? Now we're all separate bodies here, but it's language that's in the seamless web. We speak. Then that became writing, then that became printed books, and then that became bulldozers and railroads. All these inventions, McLuhan said, had the characteristics of words and language. But what is language? Is it thought? Is it grunting? How did they first communicate? Was it ESP, or what we would call ESP, a sharing of gesture, image? How did they connect? So that desire to connect between humans created a shared environment, which was language and media, every medium actor. Now we're all back in the beginning, and we are, language and media have integrated. The bodies haven't, but what extended from the bodies have become one resonating thing. So how can we get separate from that? How can we stand back? How can we express it? Because any means of expression from a movie, say The Matrix, to go to a theme park, Disneyland, or go to a baseball game, or go to a doctor and take a pill, those are all media, and they're all fragments of the resonating thing we all live in. Now, maybe that has come, if we think that it's just one thing, and it's an extension of us, and the human and the seamless web are together, then consciousness can shift from the human to the machine or to the technological extension. So we can say it's alive, and it can say we're not alive, or we can say we're alive and it's not alive. But even in that interval, the question of what's alive and what isn't is an effect of this seamless web we're in. Okay. In Todd Gitlin's book, he says, if I can quickly get the sentence, he says he's going to attempt to, he talks about his other books and how he talked about different media. And he says in this book, in his introduction, I'm going to try to make a total picture of the situation we're in. I'm going to try to get a holistic or a whole total view. I'm going to attempt to understand our reality. This, what he calls being with media. Being with media, it's italicized, is a way in print form to express what I'm saying. We're being with this one seamless web, this one node, resonating digital node, whatever it is. When we say the digital world is O's and ones, on and off, that's a visualization of it. So we could take turns being the O or the one. Visualization, that means alphabetic, literate, ABC level, O, one. And numbers were not like that before. Primitive societies used to make numbers just clumps. They'd just take a bunch of people and say, oh yeah, there's five people there. And then there'd be a clump, maybe 23 actual human beings, but they would just vaguely approximate because they didn't have the visual precision of writing and the phonetic alphabet. So that's where O and one comes in. So that's a visual definition, a visual extension, and this of being with media. Being, we could capitalize it, being with media. Who's being? Us or the machine? And by machine, I don't mean a mechanical thing. It's an organic, seamless web. See, what word are we going to use? So when McLuhan said the medium is the message, he was intuiting that we were inside a medium. It was one medium. And therefore, he wrote about the history of media in his books, but that was the rearview mirror. That was an art form. He was trying to lead up to a image, to show you the image of how we got to the post-media, post-classifications of the seamless web. But it had already been done by James Joyce. But we'll go into that later.